Welcome to Description, Valerie in Toronto. Hi, I'm Valerie, and yeah, I'm in Toronto. And it's the Great Canadian National Day of Podcasting. Something I did not entirely realize until halfway through this day. And right now it's about 8:30. Obviously, I am not doing what I'm usually doing on this Great Canadian National Day of Podcasting, which is, you know, walking around talking. Because, again, like I just said, I forgot about this day. And I'm going to stand up right now. So I'm in the apartment. And I could go out, but I'm going to open the window here. It's windy, and it's been raining all day. And I'm like, fuck that shit. So I'm in here. I guess I could leave the window open just for some atmosphere. Yeah, sure. What the fuck? So what I usually do at this time is I kind of blather about, I guess, whatever situation I'm in. What situation I'm in, I suppose, in terms of podcasting and some sort of status of podcasting as it is. The original intention, I think, of the Great Canadian Day of Podcasting is for people who have pod-fated, Canadian people who have pod-fated, which is people who, you know, were podcasting and then sort of started not doing that. And I think this is probably the first year I can say I'm at the point right now where I have probably pod faded. I'm looking at, I looked at the last time I did a Valerie's. I'm looking again. I'm sitting here. I think it was 6 months ago. The last time I did something on Description Valerie in Toronto, the Tumblr, which was where I ended up doing this sort of thing, that was 11 months ago. I'm still redoing Movies for the Blind, but there are weeks I forget to do that. I have an excuse this time because it's Christmas time and the next episode is Scrooge, and kind of wanted to do that, you know, obviously for Christmas, didn't want to do it too early. But, you know, I could have done it this week, and I found here I was, like, on Wednesday, and I was like, oh, shit, I haven't reposted that, have I? Fuck. And I'm like, okay. So, standing up again. I'm probably going to pace. That's happening. I'm still going to, obviously, I shouldn't say obviously. I'm going to post the Movies for the Blind. I'm still doing this, and I want to do it until, you know, I'm finished at episode 300, which is where I stopped. And, but you know, I'm not doing too well. I'm more than halfway. So that's something. What I'm doing is just like, I'm doing a little bit of re-editing and sweetening, because these episodes that I'm doing are like 7-something years old, and there's noise reduction improvements in technology. And when I say noise reduction improvements in technology, I mean Audacity. Audacity used to suck for noise reduction, and now it's good. So I've been doing that, and then like maybe posting little bits on the beginning and editing it in, and I'm like, I'm not even doing that. So, and so you may ask why. Well, I have work. Work is good. Work is great, actually. It's been a busy year working. It could be even busier year working, but it's busy year working. And podcasting wise, what have I been listening to? Is there a tremendous difference between what I've been listening to now and what I was listening to like a year ago? Not really. I still like Molly Lambert's podcast, although it's now Night Call, which is basically a redux of one of my favorite podcasts, Girls in Hoodies, and it's great. And I still listen to The Watch with Chris and Andy, and I still listen to the Bruce Lee podcast, although I've got a ton of episodes banked up. I have a feeling that I kind of seem to save them for when I'm going through something bad mentally. And then I start playing them. That's happened a couple times this year. So I'm fortunate, A, that it's only a couple times, and B, that I've had them to play. Oh, by the way, and C, I listened to a little bit of myself, what I did this time last year. And I was full of dread, and I really did not know if we would all be here at this time now. And we're here! Obviously, some of us are not, which sucks. But I am, and if you're listening to me, you are. And boy, that's a fucking achievement, isn't it? It becomes more of an achievement as every year passes. This is me as an old person saying this, obviously. That's a very old person thing for me to say. But I suppose more and more younger people are saying it as well. Katie Nolan, who I've always enjoyed listening to on podcasts, has a podcast associated with the ESPN called Sports? With Katie Nolan, and she has a gang with her. She has a sidekick named Ashley, who is a producer, who is terrific. She's great. They're great together. Katie has a TV show on ESPN. She was with Fox Sports and she moved to ESPN. And it's on, her show is on like ESPN Plus or whatever the fuck it is. One of those subscription thingies and, you know, whatever. But thank God she's got this podcast that you can still listen to, and it's very, very good. She's always good as a podcaster, and now she's got someone to bounce off of, like, a lot. It's even better, so yay for her. There are other things. Again, I'm being really slack listening to Canadian podcast. Canada Land is still great. There are other one, but I don't listen to a lot of them. Although I do have a big queue of them. Oh, I know. I know another one. Baseball guy. Gotta think of his name. What's his name? Ah, shit. I can't think of it. Dan Shulman. Thank you. Whew. Dan Shulman, who is a great, announcer, baseball play-by-play announcer, has been for ages. He's Canadian, but he's been in the States, doing all sorts of games, being a top guy, doing TV games for, I think, Fox. Yeah, Fox. And he came back up here and started doing Jays games. Holy shit, what a season they had. Oof. Started doing some Jays games, but basically kind of dialing things down on his life. Good for him. And but he started doing a podcast for Sportsnet about baseball. And it's called Swingin' a Belt. That is an old line from the late, great Tom Cheek. And that podcast is amazing. It was the best new podcast for me of the year. The production is just absolutely peerless. It's kind of themed, and it's not very time-specific, but a little time-specific. Like, you know, all-star game, all-star type things. Father's Day type things. And has these segments that kind of go all over the map in terms of baseball, in terms of, you know, talking to current players, old players, managers. I remember when he was in St. Louis. By the way, this year I went to St. Louis as a part of a work thing. He was in St. Louis. No, it wasn't St. No, he was in Kansas City. That's it. Because I was thinking, I was going to St. Louis, and I was like, hey, is that where the Negro Leagues Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame is? Because I heard about it on Dan Shulman's show. He did a segment on it, and it turned out, no, it was in Kansas City and not St. Louis. So that's how I remember that, through my own self-involvement. anyway, all kinds of segments and so well produced. And he's such a great interviewer. And the thing that really struck me, of course, it's a little unfair that it's a fairly, it's a professional podcast, right? It's produced by Sportsnet. And so you don't, not being much of a, I'm used to amateur podcasts where you really shouldn't listen to their first episode. You should wait, you should let them kind of ramp up. Sort of like you really should not go to a restaurant on its very first night in business. You've got to let people ramp up on their shit. But this one was awesome right out of the box. And it's probably because they probably had months of pre-production and planning and probably rehearsal and practice episodes nobody heard and that sort of thing. Fair enough. The thing about this, right from the very first episode, I would listen to it. Each episode, there is at least one or two things about baseball and the history of baseball that I did not know. Absolutely revelatory things that I did not know. And I fancy myself, you know, I'm not a complete baseball nerd, but you may notice I know a lot of shit about a lot of shit. A lot of dumb shit about a lot of dumb shit. And there's evidently more dumb shit I, in fact, didn't know that is on Dan's show. So, damn, it's really great. And if you're into sports generally, you don't even really have to be that into sports, honestly. Because he just tells good stories, and he has good people on that tell good stories that are interesting. And so I highly recommend Swinging a Belt. Obviously, it's on hiatus because it's off season right now. But, oh my God, make a note on that and catch up on it if you're in any way vaguely interested in baseball, because it's really great. So that's the pot. And technically, it's Canadian, so that's really the podcast that really made an impact on me this year. But this year, I'm going to sit down again. It's not really entirely about podcasting for me. I'm sitting down again and I'm looking at my Twitter to see. Yeah, I have to make a reference to something. In the spirit of Valerides, which I may still do. There have been a couple times where I've like read something for Valerides and I just haven't posted it. That's usually the first step away from pod fading is when you, away from doing a podcast is when first you have the intention of recording something and you do, but you just don't post it. And then the next thing is you just don't record it. Anyway, in the spirit of Valerides, I'm going to read something that I wrote, but I wrote it on a new Tumblr that I started this year. And it gives some idea of the hobby side interest that sort of defined my year. And if you're a friend of mine and know me generally, you already have some idea what this is. So I'm going to read what was the first post in this Tumblr. And in fact, it's called The Origin Story. So I'm going to read it. Going to read it now. And people who know me, who are friends, are going to roll their eyes when I get started on this. But here we go. It goes like this. The Origin Story. Around a year ago. Now, oh, I should say that this was, I posted this, checking this, July 20th. All right, I posted this July 20th. Around a year ago, I was unblissfully unaware of the existence of Lee Donghae, who was a guy about to get out of the military and go back to his old job. If I had walked past Yoon Jong-hen on his way to play Massey Hall here in Toronto with his group, I wouldn't have known who they were. Though I may have thought, holy cats, who is that kid? Was he grown in a lab? And also, who are these kids going to see at Massey Hall? They played Massey Hall. I was a middle-aged American-Canadian with a decent freelance voiceover audio description life, trying to keep my head above psychological water since a piece of shit started running my old country where my family still lives. Through a life of music of various kinds, I was listening to people talk in podcasts more, not including my own podcasts, but I'd also caught the end of the tale of Poptimism. Not knowing why, I had to listen to that Carly Rae Jepsen album over and over in between listening to Kendrick and Beyonce. I was also hanging on to Baby Metal and Kyari Pamu Pamu. The former was my gateway because of my love of metal and my need for its energy at that point without the nihilism that we now had too much of. But both these acts were using a very distinct style, a tradition whose vocabulary I didn't know, and not just in terms of language, but seemed to include making absolutely peerless pop songs. That part I related to since I was old enough to start a record player. So what was this? Of course, it was J-pop. So I went to Spotify, which I knew had a big list of genres, and I went looking for J-pop. In their big list, it wasn't there. But K-pop was. I knew K-pop as the music I'd hear at the supermarket I'd go to in Koreatown. I'd seen the odd Girls' Generation poster on shop windows. Okay, cool. But why was it a genre on Spotify? I went in, and I found out. All these playlists. Bubblegum K-pop? Looking up at the clouds over my head, I said, yes, please. And so began my journey into girl groups. It wasn't the easiest thing telling them apart, but it didn't matter. I just needed to stay buoyant. Eventually, I gravitated toward groups that weren't the cute, cheerleadery type. Blackpink and Red Velvet. But I was also perfectly fine with the cute stuff. In fact, early Red Velvet can be included in that. So that was how I went through the fall, with bubblegum, K-pop, and my morning coffee to send me through my day. It took a couple months before I bothered to try the K-pop Daeback playlist and non-girl groups. There was Dramarama by Monsta X. There was Clap by Seventeen. My learning curve with Jonghyun and his friends would be gradual. There was Move by Taemin, who evidently was also in a group. Lol. There was Cherry Bomb by NC127. I'm the biggest hit. I'm the biggest hit on the stage. Whatever energy I'd been getting before just got spiked with Jägermeister. And then I heard a piano run and little horns. And that first voice, Lee Donghae. As sophisticated as all these songs were from a pop craftsmanship standpoint, this was a different sophistication. It was Black Suit by Super Junior. I could have sworn Super Junior was the name of a dance outfit around the turn of the millennium. This isn't that? So I went to YouTube and I looked them up. This is where I have embedded the video for Black Suit by Super Junior. And I was like, what the fuck is this video? What is all of this? Who? What? Where? And I watched it again and again and again. Then I checked the right sidebar on YouTube for more of them. My attention went to a thumbnail much simpler than what I'd been watching. It was the dance version for It's You. I thought, a dance version? So it's a dance song like it would normally not be a dance song? Then I clicked on it and went, 2009? And then I watched it. I've embedded the video for the dance version of It's You. And a dance version means not that it's a dance song, but that the video is all dancing. And I was like, the fuck is this video? What is all this? Who? What? Where? It's like a fast ballad? Who are all these people? They're all in one group? This choreography is insane. How does this work? And that was it. I fell down the rabbit hole, and I haven't come out. I've watched more YouTube in the past 7 months than I have in the last 7 years. And Naver, and Mnet, and VLive. And I know the term Engsub now. And last month, I went to KCON New York, and I saw Super Junior live. That's a story for another time. And I have a light stick. You have to look that up. The connection between the musical, visual, and I don't know, other stuff, hasn't been this strong since the early days of MTV, which old people like me write and read hard copy books about now. But this is another thing. There's this strong work ethic, this sense of loyalty and code, this training I can only compare to kids in sports who get on a track to get to the Olympics or the pros, with the subjugation and exploitation that sometimes comes with that. This sense of craft, this fandom stuff I can only compare to UK soccer football fans and their distinct sense of entitlement, fierce loyalty, and a need to express love through performance. And above all of it, this overarching concept of entertainment with a capital E, a concept I feel we've become inured to, despite it supposedly being all around us, or at least we get told that's what it is, while maybe forgetting what it means. As a recovered cynic in a world dying from its cynicism, the value of entertainment has become something I struggle to wrap my head around. But I'm enjoying the process. So, I'm starting this Tumblr to share a bunch of beautiful and/or goofy shit and some takes. It'll be new, old, washed, a meme 5 years old I didn't know about. I don't care. I'm doing my thing. Assume no knowledge. The cover image and title of this Tumblr came long before the Tumblr itself. I was just starting to get into the tropes of idol boy band videos. By the way, that's IDOL, boy band videos, which will be a big subject here. When I first watched the MV, that's what they call music videos, for Energetic by 101, written in part by Huey of Pentagon, who would write other songs that would stay in my head incessantly. Damn him. I was talking about the tropes in an MV, right? Those long looks by each member into the camera, the insanely tight choreo, pushing people wackily around in shopping carts. But two things in this video really struck me. The choreography, that's what we call that. The choreo starts with someone playing a human piano on a human stool. It's like they all move like a piano moves. And later there's a bathtub of donuts, including more long looks into the camera. I then insert a photo of two of these boys looking longingly into the camera, and one of them is sitting in a bathtub that is covered with donuts. A bathtub of donuts. It was like a conceptual earworm for me. If I were to create anything about K-pop, it would be symbolized by that. So, here we are. Thanks for being here. You will be paid back with the fact that no fucking way am I writing this much on this thing again. I so lied. Fighting, which is a thing that they say to encourage everybody. Fighting. Signed, peace, Valerie. And then I put in the video for Energetic by 101. I wonder if it'll play without a commercial if I press it. Oh, no, I won't. It will go. That's nice. So, wait, Pletus is part of 101 Studio? Is it really? Sorry, I just read that. You're not going to hear all this, but I thought I'd play this while I happen to be here. So this guy is like pressing the fingers of the other guys like their piano keys, and that's the choreo. Okay, anyway, so that's the thing I wrote as the first post of this Tumblr, which is called Bathtub of Donuts. And Bathtub of Donuts is pretty much what I said. Only it's not just like dumb shit. Although believe me, there's plenty of dumb shit and memes and shit posts and all of that stuff. It's mainly about my favorite groups, which are, first one is Super Junior, and then the second one is Seventeen. That happened a few months after I wrote that, and then there are other groups, and others, and then it went into other things because like two of the members of Seventeen went and did this. Two of the members of 17 who are Chinese went into this Chinese show that was like a competition show, but it wasn't really a competition show. And it was sort of like, MasterChef, MasterChef Professionals, only for like pop stars. And people like got together and they had tasks they had to do in terms of performing and stuff. And it's called Chaoyun Zhanji, or as we call it, CYZJ. And I got into that show because some people, brilliant people, amazing people, volunteered and did English subtitles for it. And it was great show. Great show. And I hate music competition shows. And this was great. And I discovered these C-pop artists, these Chinese pop artists, that are great, including one in particular named Wu Jiacheng, who and then I started following that guy, and then his group, which is called X9, and then I met people through that, and then one of them got me to do one of them in the Philippines, and another one was in Brampton, who does in subs. We're like, hey man, we're trying to do an English thing, do an English language thing on Tumblr about this group, because it's really fucking hard to find stuff in English about them because they're Chinese in China, right? So I'm like, okay, and so I helped them, and the tweet that I was when I looked at Twitter just a little bit ago before I started reading this thing, was someone replying to something that I had said. It was my friend Brampton, actually. I said something snotty about the fact that this group is now being very vague as to whether they're going to break up. Because last night they had a show in Shenzhen, a place I didn't know existed. And one of the members said on stage that it may be their last show. And everybody freaked the fuck out. And then I wake up to find this happen. People have been crying. And I go find out what the hell is going on. And their official Weibo, by the way, I'm on Weibo now, which is Chinese Twitter. Their official Weibo says they're not breaking up, or they're not stopping, I guess, is the translation. And now everyone's confused. And so that was the response to that. Anyway, so that happened. And there's still the K-pop stuff. And there end up being larger issues that I discuss about fandoms in South Korea and their sense of control and the system that developed that over a decade, and that's a whole thing, and these artists not really being allowed to date without getting shit. My favorite group, one of their members, like, got married, and fans, like, went nuts and demanded that he get taken out of the group, and he got taken out of the group! You know! So there's stuff like that, and the fact that this group is also starting to do stuff in Spanish, and so there are more international fans, and there are more Latin America fans, and they're like sort of starting to take over, and you know, they have different ideas about what these artists can do or should do with their personal lives as opposed to what South Koreans think they should do. And so then there's that sort of thing. And there's the fact that I'm in contact now with this whole other group of people, most of whom are girls and women, a lot of them in Asia, Southeast Asia, Latin America. And so I get their perspective on stuff. It's really, really interesting. And so I'm the Ajumma, which is Korean for an older woman. And then I have associates who are fellow Ajummas who are into K-pop and who are as old as me, or a little bit younger. And there are a lot of them. There are a lot of them. Yay, thank God. But I'm listening to these And I'm reading these girls, like, going through their exams and, like, going through their social lives or their lack of social lives or and that sort of thing. And I sometimes find myself providing advice for them. And there was this one girl a couple weeks ago, her best friend died. And I think she killed herself. And this girl was like going through it on Twitter. And she was going through it on an app called Curious Cat, which is toxic, where anonymous people can ask you questions. And that is the dumbest thing in the history of the universe, because there were people on Curious Cat who got on her ass about talking about her losing her best friend, saying she was going for attention. I know that is so evil, but shit like that happens with these people, with these kids. And then we didn't hear from this girl. And another woman, a slightly older woman in Nevada, who just went through a burn accident and is healing from that. And that's a whole thing. And she and I were like going, hey, have you heard from so-and-so? And we went trying to contact her and sent her cute gifts that would make her feel better and that kind of shit. And anyway, the girl came back a few days later and said she had tried to kill herself and she failed and ended up in the hospital. And she was back and thanked everybody, far more people than me and this other person in Nevada, who sent encouragement and good vibes and all that kind of thing. And you know, we check in with each other from time to time. And yeah, so this K-pop, is in part this thing I got into as escapism from the world being shit. And it has been successful in that, A, I'm here. B, I'm doing okay, really. It's not the only thing that saved me. There are the other coping mechanisms that I've developed over the years that you already know about. But it's helped. And it's distracted me away from, like, my regular Twitter. That's about the news and stuff. I mean, I haven't switched myself off from it. But you can get really deep in there, and if you're not being completely productive and being deep in there and actually accomplishing things, it can be bad for you emotionally and mentally. And I think I was kind of skating around that last year. And this was my way to take a couple steps back. And although I'm still paying some attention and trying to be productive, I know where my skills are and where they're not. And I'm being careful. And I'm able to do that in part because there's this other world that I've been dallying in. But it hasn't obviously been complete escapism, because these other issues that are very serious come creeping in, and they're worth discussing, and I discuss them. But somehow I'm able to, somehow I do have strengths in discussing them that I do not have when I'm discussing the world falling to shit. So yeah, it's another place my passion has gone. And it's been productive. From the outside, it looks probably weird, but I'm at the age where I'm like, we're all at the age, aren't we? Where we're like, fuck this shit. And actually, that was one thing. Another girl was actually my friend in Brampton, my friend, you know, Twitter friend. In Brampton was talking about, you know, at her work, there would be these coworkers who were sort of around her age going, talking about their social lives and, like, you know, going out and getting wasted and going to clubs and whatever the shit, like, constantly. And she kind of keeps to herself and like is kind of homebody and studies a ton and all of this. And she was kind of feeling bad about, you know, she was like, what is normal for certain people at a certain age to be doing at a certain point in life? And I had to get back to her and I went, hey, listen, hello from the future. And I said, listen, this shit about what people are supposed to be doing at a certain age is such bullshit. I can't even begin to tell you how much bullshit it is. And although if you know me to be somewhat antisocial, and I am, I've known people of different, all sorts of different ages. When I was younger, they were older than me. Now they're younger than me and older than me and all over the place. And, but most of my life has been with people that have been kind of outside of that track that, say, if I had stayed in Ohio, that track everyone was on of, like, you know, high school, college, job, or high school, married, college, job, or married, high school, college, job, or married, high school, dropout, job, you hope, lose job, other job, et cetera, et cetera. That track, I was never in that track. So, but I did go to, you know, I did go to high school and university and I got jobs and I have a great job, as I said at the beginning of this mess. And I find myself at 50. Hi, I'm 50 for fuck's sake. And like, there are definitely things that I've missed. But there are other things that I didn't miss that other people did, or that maybe just discovering those things now in a midlife crisis or something. And I kind of look back and I look around and I'm like, I'm good. And so I wanted to tell this girl, like, don't sweat it. Honestly. I mean, I can tell these kids, who are like going through exams right now and like not sleeping for days and like telling them, geez, will you fucking chill? It's not that important to your life. Well, in some countries, it is actually that important to their lives. So I can't really, you know, be all, you know, march out my privilege all over the place and say everything will be fine. But in terms of the whole age shit you're supposed to be doing at what point in your life, what you should have accomplished at some point, it's like, fuck that shit. And so I basically told her, you know, do what you want to do when you want to do it. If you actually want to go have fun, but you don't feel right having fun, well, think about that. But it shouldn't be because you're supposed to have quote unquote fun in sparkly letters at this point in your life. It's just like, no, you don't have to do that. Do what makes you feel comfortable. If at this point in your life you feel comfortable going to club getting wasted, cool. But I bet you anything, half of those coworkers at least are going out getting wasted and shit and going to clubs and whatever the fuck because they think that's what they're supposed to do. We're supposed to be having fun. So we're having fun. Shrug. And half of them are having fun, and they're actually having fun. And, you know, yay them. Awesome. But, like, you know, don't make yourself try to do this shit or think you're supposed to or, you know, that's all bullshit. So I'm able to do that. I'm able to tell these people that. Although, you know, I don't do it all the time. I'm not going around being mom to everybody here. Thank God. Because Jesus Christ. You know, who the fuck am I? But But these people thank me, and they're not shitty to me, so they're at least polite, I guess. Anyway, so as you can see, even though I went into this thing for escapism, there are things you can't escape, which is like living as a human being in the world. And that was true for podcasting. That was true for snooker. I still watch snooker, by the way, and I still keep in touch with those guys. And every, you know, hobby or passion, whatever that you get into, as long as you're dealing with humans like a human, human stuff is going to come up. And, you know, yay, human stuff. And I feel like going into different sort of things that you would never have foreseen like a couple years ago is great, because it means you're getting in touch with, you're crossing paths with people you would never have crossed paths with otherwise, and that can only be good, whether those people are good or bad. You experience them, and you know a little bit more. And if you run across bad people, well, you also run across good people. If you are running across way more bad people than good people, you may want to shift gears a little bit, which, of course, is what a lot of people are doing with Twitter and Facebook and that sort of thing, and sort of moving away, and I'm thinking of doing that as well. But it can only be good, these new things, I think. It, in part, has to do with your motivation, but I think it's good. So that is the point that I'm at right now. So I think that's all I got. Thank you for sticking with me on this, as and people who do this every year. There are other Canadian podcasters who are probably saying much more useful things or more entertaining things. so go look for them, based on the Great Canadian National Day of Podcasting. Whatever those letters at the beginning of each word are, after a hashtag, and go look for them. And if you are in fact a Canadian podcaster or ever have been, excuse me for belching there, Jesus. Well, I went ahead and made a goddamn show, so you go ahead and make a fucking goddamn show on this Great Canadian National Day podcast. And that's what it's about. So if I can fucking do this and say this useless shit, so certainly you can. So go do that. But otherwise, man, I hope we make it through another year. I think that's all we can hope. And we do our best with the time that we have. And I think we're done. Thanks. As they say in K-pop, fighting. And take care.